Johnson & Johnson is the fourth U.S. pharmaceutical company to move its COVID-19 vaccine into final stage testing. But there are still a lot of questions.
We still don't know for sure whether any of these vaccines will work. And we haven't yet gotten a vaccine approved for use. And so I think when that happens, that will give, if and when that happens, that will give a clearer picture as to then when the general public could actually get access to it.
Plus, Louisville is bracing for unrest after an indictment in the Breonna Taylor case. And mourners at the Supreme Court pay their respects to the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It's Wednesday, September 23rd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The fatal shooting of Breonna Taylor has sparked protests in Louisville, Kentucky, and across the nation, and now the city is bracing for more. Today, a grand jury indicted former detective Brett Hankison on three counts of wanton endangerment, stemming from bullets fired recklessly into a neighboring apartment. The two other officers involved in the incident were not indicted, and no one was charged in Taylor's death. Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron.
According to Kentucky law, the use of force by Mattingly and Cosgrove was justified to protect themselves. This justification bars us from pursuing criminal charges in Miss Breonna Taylor's death.
Cameron says the officers were responding to fire after Taylor's boyfriend shot at them. Attorneys for Taylor's family say the officers burst in without warning during a no-knock raid on Taylor's apartment and that her boyfriend thought they were intruders. Officers say they announced themselves. The findings from a Republican-led Senate investigation into the work of former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter in Ukraine don't support President Trump's corruption accusations against them. Hunter Biden was on the board of the Ukrainian natural gas company Burisma Holdings while his father led policy efforts in Ukraine. Trump and other Republicans had accused Joe Biden of trying to remove the country's top prosecutor to protect Burisma from investigation. Both of the Bidens have denied any wrongdoing. U.S. stocks dropped sharply again today, with tech stocks leading the fall as hopes dimmed about the prospects of another round of stimulus and coronavirus cases continued to rise. The S&P 500 was down 2.4%, the Dow dropped 1.9%, and the Nasdaq fell 2.7%. And we report exclusively that the Justice Department is taking steps that would limit legal protections for internet companies like Facebook, Google, and Twitter. The department has submitted a proposal to Congress that would force the companies to take more responsibility for managing content on their sites. The legislation is unlikely to pass this year, but both parties have expressed concerns about the role of online platforms facilitating criminal activity. Coming up after the break, the latest developments in the race for a COVID-19 vaccine. Federal officials were back on Capitol Hill today, where they defended the government's process for developing a COVID-19 vaccine and talked about the timeline. President Trump has indicated recently that there might be a vaccine before the election, and there have been concerns that the administration could put pressure on the agencies involved in making that happen. Today, Dr. Stephen Hahn, commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration, addressed that head on.
FDA will not authorize or approve any COVID-19 vaccine before it has met the agency's rigorous expectations for safety and effectiveness. Decisions to authorize or approve any such vaccine or therapeutic will be made by the dedicated career staff at FDA through our thorough review processes, and science will guide our decisions. FDA will not permit any pressure from anyone to change that. I will fight for science, Mr. Chairman. I will fight for the integrity of the agency, and I will put the interests of the American people before anything else.
Joining me now to talk about the timeline and the latest developments on the vaccine front is Wall Street Journal pharmaceutical reporter Peter Loftus. Hi, Peter. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on.
So, Peter, we've heard some conflicting messages in recent weeks, including from the CDC and President Trump, over when a vaccine could be available to the general public. Can you sort through that messaging for us? What are experts saying about when a vaccine will be ready?
Well, you're right. There are different timelines that have been put out there. And it sort of starts with the potential approval by the government of a vaccine or multiple vaccines. That could come within the next couple months. But even if that were to happen, say in November, the expectation is that the supplies of doses will be limited initially. And so they're going to have to sort of prioritize who gets them, including giving them to healthcare workers and that sort of thing. And then so then the question becomes, then how long after that would it be that the average person could get one, someone who doesn't fall into one of these high priority groups? And that I think that's where some of the confusion has shown itself in the past week or so. And yes, the CDC director initially said something like late second quarter or third quarter, so sometime next summer, that the general public could get access to a vaccine. And then subsequently, the president and some others in the administration tried to move up that time frame and say that everybody will be able to get vaccinated, say, in March or April. And so that's where things stand now. And I think that right now there's just a lot of uncertainty about how it will look, partly because we still don't know for sure whether any of these vaccines will work. And we haven't yet gotten a vaccine approved for use. And so I think when that happens, that will give, if and when that happens, that will give a clearer picture as to then when the general public could actually get access to it.
Why do you think we're seeing so much back and forth between the agencies involved here?
Well, there's many agencies involved. You have the CDC, HHS, FDA, and then others in the administration who are behind the decisions, and a lot of experts. And so I think some of the experts have honest differences or different levels of cautionary language. But we're also in this election season. And so I think that there's at least the perception out there that it would be in the president's interest to for his reelection chances to have a vaccine sooner rather than later. And then so I think from there you see among different people in the administration different comfort levels with saying how quickly we can either A, get a vaccine approved, and then B, get a supply available widely.
Now, we also heard big news from Johnson & Johnson today. They are now entering the third phase, late stage trials of their vaccine. Peter, tell us a little bit about where they are in the process and what we can expect.
Sure. They've been working on a vaccine for much of this year. And they did start their first study in people in July. And so they're saying that they now have some positive interim results of that first study that show that it was generally safe, the vaccine was generally safe, and that it induced the kind of immune responses that they wanted to see. They haven't released the full results of that yet. But as a result of what they've seen from that study, they're now moving into this big, big phase three study where they expect to enroll up to 60,000 people in the U.S. and several other countries, including Brazil and South Africa. And this will be the sort of definitive study that shows whether the vaccine actually prevents COVID-19, because some people are going to get the vaccine and some people will get a placebo, and then they'll go out into the world and see if the number of people who get COVID-19 in the vaccinated group is lower or significantly lower than what you would see in the non-vaccinated. And so, yeah, that big phase three study just started today. And J&J thinks that it's possible they would have initial results around the end of the year or the beginning of next year.
And Peter, something notable about what J&J is testing right now is that this would be a single dose vaccine, whereas the other candidates that are leading right now, it would be two shots. Tell us the significance of that.
Right. In this trial, at least, J&J is testing a single dose because they say that in the earlier trials, in the testing so far, it looks like a single dose might be able to provide enough protection. And so the significance of that is that could allow them to get an answer more quickly in this big trial about whether it works or not, because you don't have to wait 3 to 4 weeks for all the people in the study to get a second dose, which is what is happening for the most part in the other trials for the other vaccines. And so that could speed things up. And also for if this vaccine ends up being successful and works and they roll it out, it could just make things simpler for a big vaccination campaign, because you would give people a single dose and you wouldn't have to send them reminders to come back in on a certain date. And so Johnson & Johnson sees a lot of appeal in that. Now, the question is, we still don't know if that single dose will be enough. And they are, in fact, planning additional studies of a two-dose regimen, you know, just to make sure in case that turns out to be the better option.
And there are a couple of drug makers already in phase three. How many do we have now in the final stage of trials?
Sure. In the U.S., there's four now that have started phase three studies. So there's a vaccine from Moderna, which they co-designed with NIH. And there's a vaccine that Pfizer is working on with a German company. And then there's a vaccine that AstraZeneca licensed from the University of Oxford in the UK. And that started a phase three study in August. In the U.S., that study is currently on hold because they're exploring a potential safety concern. So it could resume. And so after those three vaccines, those three phase three trials that have already started, now J&J's vaccine becomes the fourth to enter these big late stage studies.
Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Loftus. Peter, thanks so much for joining me and keeping us up to date.
My pleasure.
And finally, official commemorations for the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg have begun in Washington. This morning, her family and close friends attended a private service along with other justices in the Supreme Court's Great Hall. Her body will now lie in repose at the steps of the court to allow public viewing through Thursday evening. Thousands of people have already come to pay their respects.
We go way back. I have never met her personally, but she actually spoke at my law school graduation back in 1981. Mm-hmm. I like to say that I followed in a career that probably might not have been possible had she not have done the things that she did.
When you think about RBG and John Lewis and like the legacies they left behind, both of them have been fighting their entire lives for equality, you know, and I look at it like it's our time to step up. With everything that they've done for us, now it's on us, you know, and we gotta try to do what we can do to make a change and to make things better for not only our generation, but for generations to come.
Seeing Justice Ginsburg on the bench has always been very important. And now she was joined by two other women. And I'm like her. She said, when there will be too many, she said, well, nine will be when she's satisfied. I feel that same way. They weren't unhappy when it was nine white men. I won't be unhappy if it's nine black women.
That was Deborah Long Doyle, Jeffrey Gray Gilliam, and June Jeffries. Justice Ginsburg will lie in state at the U.S. Capitol with a formal ceremony on Friday morning. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.